I wonder if you have what we have in our house. We have a bottom drawer. Now, when I was a kid, bottom drawers used to be filled with balls of elastic bands and paper clips and those dog clip things, you know, those big things that clip lots of paper together and that kind of thing. These days, it's full of old tech. I was clearing out my bottom drawer this week, and so I have brought the shopping bag of surprise. Hooray. I kind of given the surprise away, but I was frankly quite shocked. So, in our bottom drawer, amongst the mass of wires. Now, we you know, my wife, Sarah, who's away today, so I'll tell you a story about her later because she's away, who's away today with her sister, and I've got three children who are now grown up, okay? So when we got married and were having our children in the late 1990s, so our youngest daughter was born in 2000, mobile phones were really still quite a luxury. They, you know, and so we had a pager to alert me when Sarah was due to go into labour. And that's, we bought a pager, and that was a major thing. And I remember getting paged at work. Oh, I'm in labour. Come home now. So that was an amazing thing. And I think it was only when we moved to Coventry in about 2001 that we bought our first mobile phone. And that number is still the number that Sarah has today, which is amazing. So I went through our drawer and I pulled out a smartphone. And I pulled out another 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 smartphone. Some of these phones are Windows phones. Who remembers those? And I pulled out another smartphone. And then I started to get to, oh no, another smartphone. That one's got quite a nice sparkly cover. And then, whoops. Look, this one's got a battery that you can remove so that when the phone battery dies, you can buy a replacement. How forward thinking is that? Oh, let's put these down. Then I started to get to the really good stuff, okay? I pulled out that. And then a case that went with it, and this kind of half smartphoney thing that's pretending to be a BlackBerry. Who remembers those? And then another little thing. And then another, and I started to get really excited because I thought, what if I find an old Nokia? That'd be really cool, you know. Another one. I think that's almost a smartphone, that one. Almost. And that. And I got to the bottom of the drawer, so obviously the old Nokias went. And I was frankly appalled. Absolutely appalled. At 20, not even 20, probably 15 years worth of tech. Absolutely appalled and shocked. And then I started to think about the difference that technology has made to our lives and what it was different. And I started to think about the influence that these things have over us. And that got me to thinking about, I wonder who the top 15 influencers are of 2024. Because these days, if we've got one of these and we're plugged in any way to social media, what we've got is a little thing in our pocket that is in some ways speaking into our lives and influencing us. There is a battle for our attention, in fact. And this thing is almost like a war going on in our pockets. You know, there's a battle for our attention. Whether it's our friends, those we love around us, or the whole kind of wider world out there, they all want a piece of you. So I thought, who are the top 15 influencers? So here we go. I had no idea who half these people are. I had to look this up. Jennifer Lopez, I know who that is. She's an actress and a singer. Ariana Grande, I've heard of her. She's a singer and an actress as well. Khloe Kardashian, I know about Kardashians because I know that they are reality TV stars. I don't know, you know, so apparently Khloe's one of them. Cristiano Ronaldo, a footballer. I've heard of that as well. Kim Kardashian, another one. Kylie Jenner. Now, I'm told Kylie Jenner is also a Kardashian. Yeah. Right, some of you are agreeing, you see. Beyoncé Knowles, singer. Know who that is. Lionel Messi, footballer. Mr. Beast. Honestly, no idea. My son tells me that Mr. Beast is quite big. I don't know. Who's heard of Mr. Beast before today? Wow. Taylor Swift. Yep, we all know about Taylor Swift. Selena Gomez, singer and actress. Dwayne The Rock Johnson, actor and wrestler. Katy Perry, singer. Yeah, heard of her. Justin Bieber, singer. I've heard of him. Virat Kohli, an Indian cricket player. I've heard of him because I like my cricket. Who's heard of Virat Kohli before? Yeah, good. Well done, cricket fans. Okay, so who do you think are in the bottom five of our 15? So who are the least popular? Who thinks the cricketer? Yeah, okay, who thinks the cricketer? Anybody else want to have a go? Tell me a nut. Whoops. What? Does this still work?
Yes, it does. Wow.
Right, okay. So cricketer, we think Virat Kohli is in the bottom 15. Who else? Katy Perry. We've got one on Katy Perry. Shout out. I'm not going to bother with this. Shout out. Okay, Jennifer Lopez, we think, is in the bottom 15. Selena Gomez, maybe. Who else? Should we find out? Here we go. Jennifer Lopez is number 15. The least popular. I was surprised at that. Virat Kohli, the cricketer, yep, 14. Khloe Kardashian, that's surprising because I thought Kardashians were kind of right up there. Then Beyonce, I thought Beyonce was huge. I mean, she is. We're talking, I think, 300, 400 million followers. That's what we're talking about here. Katy Perry, though, this year apparently is bigger than Beyonce. Who knew? All right. So that narrows it down to 10. So here are our top 10 most influential people of 2024. So who's in the next five? Who's the middle rankers here? Shout out. Dwayne The Rock Johnson. All right. Who else? Selena Gomez. Yeah, okay. Who else? Justin Bieber, all right. Any other takers? Kylie Jenner. Kylie Jenner. Okay, let's have a look. So, who said Ariana Grande? Nobody. Taylor Swift, number 8. Kylie Jenner, reality TV star. Dwayne The Rock Johnson and Kim Kardashian. So that leaves us with our top five. Now, those five that we've just eliminated are all somewhere between 400 and 500 million followers globally. All right, so now we're into our top five. So who's number one? Who's number one? Ronaldo? Anybody else? Anything different from Ronaldo? Okay, Selena. Mr. Beast? Okay. I honestly, until I wrote this, I had never heard of Mr. Beast. Cristiano Ronaldo. Now, what is surprising is the other four are all around about 580 million followers, something like that. They're all around about that level. Cristiano Ronaldo, over 800 million followers. So it's 300 million people more than all the others. Like it or not, these people are speaking into the lives of millions and millions of people. And they are shaping our culture and our society. So, as we look at today's passage in Paul's letter to the first century church in Philippi, we are going to hit head on two questions that everyone these days is expected to have an answer to. Who influences me, or who do I follow? And what is my identity, and who am I? Now, the idea that what makes us who we are is shaped by the influences and the influencers around us is not new. It was a factor even before smartphones and the internet. When I was growing up, there wasn't a huge difference between the influencers of my youth and the influencers of today. It was still pop stars, TV celebrities, sports personalities. It was just a bit more parochial, a bit less global. I suppose the main difference was that we didn't have a device in our pockets that enabled us to have an actual conversation with these people on a daily basis, or at least enabled us to think we were having a conversation with them on a daily basis. They were far off and untouchable, unreachable. In fact, though, being shaped by those around us has always been a thing. It was a thing for our grandparents when there was one channel black and white TV and radio, and it was a thing for their grandparents when there was just newspapers. And it was a thing for the Philippians long before the printing press had even been invented. Let's read our passage. Dear brothers and sisters, so we're going to be reading Philippians 3, 17 to 21. I am reading from the New Living Translation because that's our version of this morning, Natalia. Dear brothers and sisters, pattern your lives after mine and learn from those who follow our example. For I have told you often before, and I say it again with tears in my eyes, that there are many whose conduct shows that they are really enemies of the cross of Christ. They are headed for destruction. Their God is their appetite. They brag about shameful things, and they think only about this life here on earth. But we are citizens of heaven, where the Lord Jesus Christ lives, and we are eagerly waiting for him to return as our Savior. He will take our weak and mortal bodies and change them into glorious bodies like his own, using the same power with which he will bring everything under his control. Amen. Now, the person writing this letter to the Philippians is Paul, and a letter delivered by hand and publicly read to a gathered group, which is how this letter would have been distributed and read, is the first century equivalent of a social media post. Its reach initially was very limited, just the Christians in Philippi. But to date, an estimated, and this is only since the invention of the printing press in Gutenberg, an estimated 5 billion Bibles have been printed since the invention of the printing press. So that doesn't include all of the handwritten manuscripts before that point. And it doesn't include all the people that that Bible, or those Bibles have been read to and taught from. Now, that makes Paul and every other contributor to God's book even more influential than Ronaldo. Just saying. And if you're of a certain generation, it also makes John Lennon just plain wrong. And Paul is pretty bold. Pattern your lives after mine. Join in imitating me. Let me be your influencer. Oh, and also, if you see anyone like me, let them influence you too. Now, that does rather appear at odds with what we learned last week. Fix your eyes upon Jesus and race towards the prize you have already won, the prize that Jesus has won for you. Who was here last week? Yeah? Do you remember that from Pete's sermon? If you haven't heard Pete's preach, go online and listen to it. It's great. The analogy Paul uses is that of a runner who never looks back, who stays in their lane, who doesn't look left, who doesn't look right, who has their focus entirely on the end point, their goal. And the goal is the prize of salvation. That Jesus has already won for you. In short, keep your eyes fixed on Jesus, not on anyone else. Do you remember that? So why is Paul saying, imitate me? After all, in the verses last week, if you've got your Bibles, if you just pull this passage up and look, in verses 12 and 13, he says that his life does not yet match up to the holiness that Jesus has already won for him. It's not there yet. He isn't there yet. What he's actually saying is more subtle than this week. Copy me and those like me in pursuing Jesus. Do you understand what I'm saying? Copy me and others like me in pursuing Jesus. Run the race with me. Look where I am looking. Find others who look where I am looking, and then do the same. Let's run this race together. Let's look towards Jesus together. Find other people who are running the race well and learn from them, but don't follow them. Join with them in following Jesus. Do you see how that's so powerfully different from the influences of today? So powerfully different. But when it comes to anything that doesn't point towards Jesus, be ruthless. Avoid it. And what is particularly arresting in this passage is the emotion that Paul expresses it with. His pastoral heart is full of tears at the thought of any believer following the wrong influencer. For I have told you often before, and I say it again with tears in my eyes, that there are many whose conduct shows that they are really enemies of the cross of Christ. They are headed for destruction. Their God is their appetite. They brag about the shameful things. They glory in their shame. And they think only about this life here on earth. It's like Paul is saying that there are many out there taking other paths, choosing other goals, and trying to get you to go along with them. He's warned us of them many times, and it makes him weep that he's having to do it again. His message is clear. Be careful about who you let influence you. Their goal is anything but Jesus. And if that is the case, then they aren't worth being influenced by. So what is my identity and who am I? See, we need to take this warning seriously. We all need to hear it, particularly when we remember who we are. Now, the last time I preached from Philippians, we were back at the end of chapter 1, beginning of chapter 2, and we preached about this at that point too. Remember who you are. We are citizens of heaven, where the Lord Jesus Christ lives, and we are eagerly waiting for him to return as our Savior. He will take our weak mortal bodies and change them into glorious bodies like his own, using the same power with which he will bring everything under his control. Now, at this point, I could go off and honestly, I could preach for the next hour on the kingdom of God. because he is king. And he will take everything under his control. All that we see out there that is not yet under the control, the rule and reign of his kingdom will be fully under his control and the rule and reign of his kingdom. But the point I want to make this morning is we are citizens of heaven and Jesus is our King. That is what makes us who we are. Our true identity then is found in Jesus. He will return. And when he does, we will be transformed. We will receive glorious bodies. I love that. Did you notice anything consistent about our top 15 influences? Whether the sports personality, TV personality, pop star, they were all gorgeous, weren't they? All the pinnacle of what the world thinks is beautiful. We are going to be given bodies way better than that. Bodies like Jesus. So let's have a look at what Jesus' resurrection body was like. So at the end of Matthew, we have the account of the resurrection, and the disciples recognize Jesus. So it was still recognizably Jesus. We will be recognizably Gemma or Shay or Sam. And yet, unrecognizable. So we know at the end of Luke, on the road to Emmaus, Jesus appeared and walked with the two disciples. And they had a whole conversation before they realized who he was. And we know that when Mary saw him in the garden, she didn't recognize him, thought he was the gardener. Now, they weren't expecting to see Jesus. So he was recognizable and yet unrecognizable. And also, he wasn't constrained by the laws of physics. So if you're studying physics here, get ready for a whole new experience. Everything you've learned in this life, out the window, gone. Jesus could walk through walls and appear and disappear at will. And yet he was not a spirit. He could still be touched and he could still eat food. And if you don't believe me, you can read about it in Luke 24, 35 to 49. Thomas touched him and his wounds. He ate food with the disciples. And we will be like Jesus forever and ever. So if you turn to the end of your Bibles and look in Revelation chapter 21, verse 4, it says this: he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will be no more death. That top 15, they're all worried about dying. They're all trying to look younger all the time. No more death, or sorrow, or crying, all pain. All these things are gone forever. No more sickness, no more mental illness, which is made worse by these things. No more worn out joints. I might even have a full head of hair. Beauty is what we will be. We will be beautiful. It says it in that passage. And beauty is simply perfection. And Jesus will make us beautiful and whole with the same powerful skill by which he is putting everything as it should be under and around him. So you will be the most beautiful version of you. When I got married to Sarah, next year we'll be married 30 years. When Sarah walked down the aisle to meet me, I had to double take. She was beautiful anyway, and frankly, out of my league. But who was this? She was recognizably Sarah, but even more beautiful. That's what it'll be like. Paul's identity was not shaped by who he was, who he had been. He was no longer Saul, the persecutor of the church. Paul's identity was entirely shaped by his future state. Our identity as a child of God, a citizen of Jesus' kingdom, is absolutely primary. It comes first and above every other thing that makes you who you are. And so everything that makes you who you are, other than being a child of the kingdom of God, must be viewed from that starting point and through that lens. Does that make sense? Our starting point is who we are in Christ Jesus and who we will be. So the example in Paul's life is the way that he introduced his letter to Philemon. You see, Paul wrote this letter and the letter to Philemon from prison. He was banged up. And so it would have been really easy for him to allow that to shape his identity. Hi, I'm Paul, and I'm a prisoner. But no, he is Paul, a prisoner for Christ Jesus. Do you see the difference? He's even viewing his incarceration through the lens of his eternal position. It's part of his racing on to Jesus. It's a subtle difference, but even that is viewed through the lens of his future glory. So the starting point for who we are and what we believe our identity to be is not then defined by this world or what we do or indeed our experiences, our struggles, or our health, primarily. You may hold a passport for the country of your birth, but even that is not your primary definer. You are a citizen of Jesus' kingdom first and foremost, and even your nationality must be viewed through that lens. I should have put that up a while ago. Drink it in. Jesus will make you beautiful, whole, with the same powerful skill by which he is putting everything as it should be under and around him. So as we finish, and I ask the band to come back, I want to leave you with two simple questions. But these two simple questions are the questions that everybody around you is asking. Absolutely everybody. It is more important to people today than it ever has been. And so we have something to say into this as citizens of Jesus, providing you can get yourself into that place and into that mindset. And actually, you don't have to get yourself into that place and into that mindset, because you can ask for help. And Jesus will help you get into that place and into that mindset. And the questions are these. Who influences you? Will they help you run towards Jesus? Simple questions to leave you with. What has shaped your identity? Is it shaped by your past condition or your future condition? So I'll leave you those to think about. We're going to worship. We're going to declare Jesus King of our lives. Thank you, Dejo.